Rochester City Council member Mary Lupien joined a few dozen protesters outside the public safety building yesterday. This was shortly after learning of the death of Daniel Prude. Video captured by a Rochester police body camera shows Prude, naked, being held down by three officers. They had placed a hood known as a spit sock over his head. Prude lost consciousness and died a week later. That was March 30th. Officers responded after Prude's family had expressed concerns about his mental state. Lupien says police should not be involved with these kinds of incidents.
You know, it really calls for trained professionals who have de-escalation experience and know how to handle people that are in crisis.
Lupien says the CAHOOTS program out of Eugene, Oregon could be a model for Rochester. It dispatches responders and counselors for mental health calls. The New York State Attorney General's office is investigating Prude's death, which was ruled a homicide by the Monroe County Medical Examiner. Daniel Prude's family has filed a notice of intent to sue the city of Rochester. They are represented by attorney Elliot Shields, who joins us now. Thank you so much for being here, Mr. Shields.
Thank you for having me and for bringing attention to this horrible incident.
When did you first learn of Daniel Prude's death and the circumstances surrounding it?
So Mr. Prude's brother, Joe, immediately that night contacted my co-counsel, Don Thompson, at Easton Thompson, Kasparik, Shiffrin, which is a firm based in Rochester. And Don immediately emailed me that night. So I personally learned of the incident maybe the day after, and his firm was contacted the night of the incident.
And the Rochester community became aware of this just yesterday when the video from this police camera, body-worn camera, was released. You know, 5.5 months later after Mr. Prude's death, you had filed to get a hold of that video, correct?
Correct. We filed our Freedom of Information Law request on April 3rd. And the city originally ignored the request. So we had to file an administrative appeal. And they released a lot of the records, but they did not immediately release the body-worn camera footage itself. And they said that they needed more time to release the body-worn camera footage. I don't think that they actually needed more time, and, you know, the delay was significant, and that's why we're only hearing about the story right now.
Rochester police investigators said that the officers who were at the scene of the arrest acted appropriately and according to their training. How do you see it when you watch the police body cam video of the incident? What do you see?
I see officers that lacked any basic humanity. Treating a man like a piece of garbage, and I see them acting incredibly stupidly. How do you... it's upsetting to talk about. You know, they should have... If you watch the video, he responds to their questions. How I would want my officers to act in this situation is to have a conversation with him, to say, how are you doing? Don't worry, help is on the way. We're here to help you. We called the ambulance. They're going to be here in a few minutes. They ask him several questions. They ask him his name. He's bleeding. They ask him, do you have AIDS? Do you have HIV? He responds to them. He would have kept responding if they had had a conversation with him. They could have put a blanket on his back. They could have put him in the back of the police car. It's 34 degrees outside. He's freezing cold. They don't do any of that. You know, instead, they put the spit sock over his head. And when they do that, you hear his affect change. He's terrified. They don't do anything to comfort him. Instead, they get angry. And they get upset. And they could have just taken a step back. They could have left him alone. But instead, they get angry, and they push him into the ground, and they suffocate him until he's no longer breathing. And that's what caused his death. And that didn't need to happen. And that's why these officers need to be held accountable. That's why they should have been fired immediately. And that's why the Attorney General must prosecute these officers for causing the death of Daniel Prude.
I want to ask a little bit about the context of what happened leading up to Mr. Prude's encounter with the police. I understand he was a Chicago resident who was here visiting his brother Joe, who lives in Rochester. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
What else can you tell us about Daniel Prude? Did he have a family of his own?
Daniel lived with his sister in Chicago. He did not have any, he was unmarried and he didn't have any children. And he had, his sister had noticed that he had begun acting strangely. She spoke with Joe and said, "Hey Joe, like, I don't know what's going on with Daniel. Can I send him to visit you? Can you help him?" So Daniel came to see his brother Joe for help. That's why he was in Rochester. And immediately when he arrived in Rochester, Joe noticed the same thing. And so Joe had Daniel admitted to Strong Hospital, where they evaluated him and they released him immediately. And then he came back to Joe's house and they were having a normal conversation, and Joe left the room for a minute and Daniel ran out the door without a shirt on, just wearing pants and socks. And Joe called 911 for help. And he told them, "Hey, I don't know what's going on with my brother. He's going through something. He's not a threat to anyone. Please don't hurt him. He needs help." And instead of helping him, they killed him.
Will you be waiting for the outcome of the Attorney General's investigation? That office, as you said, will determine whether any criminal charges are filed against the officers. Will you wait for the results of that before filing the family's lawsuit against the city?
Absolutely not. According to the Executive Order 147, the Attorney General's office has exclusive jurisdiction, as you said, to investigate criminally, but that does not preclude, as the mayor and the police chief said yesterday, which is absolutely untrue, that does not preclude them from continuing with their internal investigation, and it does not preclude us from proceeding forwards with any civil lawsuit. And, you know, either way, the outcome from the Attorney General's office has no legal bearing on civil liability. It has no legal bearing on whether or not these officers did anything that should have resulted in them either being placed on desk duty or losing their jobs. That's one of the things that my clients are most upset about, that these officers are still on the streets interacting with the public. I think that should outrage everybody in the city of Rochester. They should not be out there making arrests and interacting with individuals every day. They should be either sitting behind a desk or sitting at home without a job.
I have to end the conversation there. That's Attorney Elliot Shields. He is representing the family of Daniel Prude. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
No, thank you.